All right, might make a start. Welcome to the 5:45 session. I think this is the last one. This afternoon, we have Vincent Greer from StrapData. He's going to be talking to us about consistent Cassandra schema changes in Alessandro. And so I'll hand it over to you, Vincent.
Oh, thanks. First of all, I want to thank the Apache Foundation for this event. I'm a rookie as a speaker today, so... I'm going to talk about consistent schema change in Alessandro, how we manage that. But I want to start with a few words about Alessandro first. We'll introduce the product, and then we will describe how the schema management, schema change are done with Elasticsearch and Cassandra. And then we'll focus on how we've made some modification into Apache Cassandra to properly support dynamic schema change. Well, Alessandro is basically the integration of Elasticsearch into the Cassandra GVM, so the Elasticsearch code is embedded into the Cassandra GVM, and as a result, you get the two API from both Cassandra with SQL and Elasticsearch with JSON REST API. It allows you to plug your application with both the SQL driver and the REST driver, or even query Elasticsearch through the SQL driver. So the main advantage of such architecture is that you get cross data center replication from the Cassandra features, and you also get Elasticsearch feature from the API, and then you can plug usual tool running with Elasticsearch, like Kibana for reporting. I guess you all know this tool. And then you can also run any app that are querying Elasticsearch and Cassandra. So compared to the vanilla Elasticsearch, you have an active-active cluster in two data centers, while with the vanilla Elasticsearch, you always have a master-slave architecture. Because of the capture end, you have to make the choice. It cannot be both. So, based on Cassandra, we are active-active with we are lack the consistency if there's a network glitch or whatever. So, on the write path, when you write on a table of Cassandra, you can decide to index some columns to Elasticsearch, not all columns. Depends on your setting. So you can, for example, here you can index column 1, 2, and 4 into the Elasticsearch secondary index. And this custom secondary index build data structure for Lucene and generate Lucene segments that are basically files stored in the same directory layout as the SS table from Cassandra. So you've got all your data in the same piece of, in the same directory layout. The write to Lucene files is synchronous. That means that on the write path, you pay the time to update Elasticsearch indices. So you when you index your data, you have a lower throughput than if you don't have it. So on a read path, there's basically two kinds of search. By default, Elasticsearch is searching across all charts. So does that mean that you are searching something on the world dataset? Okay. So if you do a basic call command to request the Elasticsearch API, you will search across all your Cassandra nodes in your local data center. Okay. You can direct the search on the Cassandra partition if you provide the routing parameter. This is a mechanism also available in Elasticsearch. You can specify with a routing parameter in which chart you want to do the request, and routing is the same as the partition key into Cassandra. So basically, this kind of request, when you have the routing parameter, it convert the XXX to the partition key of your the underlying table, and the search is directed only on the replica hosting that data. And if you do the same request through the SQL driver, you can in the ES query columns. This is a dummy column. In fact, there's no data in that column. It's just used to transport the Elasticsearch query to the coordinator node. And then the coordinator node executes a query. And if you provide the partition key in your query, like here, we provide the ID, which is in that case a partition key, the query is automatically directed to the replica. So this is a search on the replica. So it has an impact on the throughput of the of Elasticsearch. By default, if you search on the world data center, you've got the throughput depending on the replication factor, because you can, for example, here with a replication factor of 1, you need to fan out the data center to request every node. If you have replication of 2, you can only request half the node of the data center. And then if you increase replication factor, you lower the number of nodes you need to request. So you can increase the throughput by increasing the replication factor. But that it doesn't scale with the number of nodes. So, whereas if you do a partition search directed to the replica, then it still scales with the number of nodes. So it depends of your needs. But if you want to do use Elasticsearch, Elasticsearch with a big cluster with hundreds of nodes, you should do partition search. Otherwise, you don't really scale. You probably wonder how we maintain the Elasticsearch code. It's basically two forks, a fork of the Stroud data code, because we need some function hooks in the Cassandra code to call Elasticsearch, mainly when the node starts. And we also have a fork of the Elasticsearch code. And then we build a package with the two pieces of code. It's a Gradle build. From Elasticsearch, and it builds the RPM, the VM package, a Tarball, a Docker image, and all the stuff as usual. How do we manage the mapping of Elasticsearch? In Elasticsearch, it's not named a schema, it's named a mapping. This is basically the definition of each field of your index. So in Elasticsearch, it's bidirectional. I mean, if you put documents into your Elasticsearch in Elasticsearch, then it generates automatically the underlying schema in the Cassandra model. If you have already some Cassandra table, you can also build the Elasticsearch mapping. By scanning the schema, it generates the Elasticsearch mapping with a default way of mapping it. So it's bidirectional. And to store nested document, for example, here we are pushing a nested document with a name field. And then the nested document is automatically mapped to a user-defined type into Cassandra. So it automatically creates new user-defined types. And of course, once the index is set, you have a custom secondary index using the dedicated Java class extended Elastic secondary index, which built the Lucene file. So in the Elasticsearch mapping, you can have many attributes prefixed by SQL underscore something, and you can do all the stuff you will usually do when you create a table. You can set which is the partition columns, the clustering columns, how is ordered the clustering columns, and you can even create static columns. So it's almost bijective. What you can do in SQL, you can also do it through the Elasticsearch mapping. And the Elasticsearch mapping is a JSON document. And we store it in the SQL schema directly. So it's bonded together. The mapping and the SQL schema are bonded inside the schema. And this mapping is stored as a JSON, a binary encoded with a SMILE format. This is a JSON binary format. And we store that in the schema. You've got the column name extension, where you can put proprietary schema extension. Then we introduce new keys in that table. So for each new index, you have the mapping of this index is stored in Elasticsearch underscore min slash index name. For example, here it's stored. And you have a top level data structure named metadata stored in the Elastic and Min metadata table, and then you have a JSON part here in this map with a key and metadata. So we store all the schema, all the Elasticsearch mapping in the schema, and so it's closely bound together. And even when you do a snapshot of with Cassandra, it store table extension in the generated schema.sql file. When you do a snapshot, it automatically generates the schema. And you have also extension. So if you restore your snapshot, you restore also the mapping, the Elasticsearch setting. So it is very integrated. So in Elasticsearch, one of the main features of Elasticsearch is the ability to do dynamic mapping. That means that if you put a JSON document with new field, it automatically detects the type of the new field, if it's an integer or a long string, and then it updates the mapping. So in Elasticsearch, it also updates the schema, the Cassandra schema. But you could be frightened to generate a lot of schema change in your cluster. And schema change in Cassandra is known as an anti-pattern. So it was an issue for us. And we tried to solve that issue, and I will explain how we solved that. So, it's a penguin, yeah. we introduced batched schema change. That means that we have grouped together many changes in the schema in one mutation, one batch of mutation, and we manage concurrency in schema update with a Paxos transaction. So the world picture is here. When your Elasticsearch client put a mapping request to a coordinator node, we first validate that the schema is okay with the existing mapping and the existing SQL schema. So we do a bunch of validation on many SQL statements. Then, if it's okay, we keep all the mutation schema changes transformed to schema mutation. This is binary write. We keep all those mutation, and then we request we play a Paxos transaction, a lightweight transaction, to check that there's no concurrent change at the same time. If it's okay, then we apply those mutations in a batch to all nodes. Then all nodes get those mutations, load it in its schema in memory, update the Elasticsearch mapping, and then acknowledge the mapping change to the coordinator node. And then the user at the end get an ACK when it's happened. So to demonstrate that, I've got a single node cluster running on my laptop. So here is my single node, and it's also a cluster Elasticsearch index, for example. Here is the Elasticsearch cluster state, the one that you would get from the master node in a Elasticsearch. And you have already many indices created on that node. this is Elasticsearch indices. And you have a SQL schema for those indices. So I've plugged. So I've plugged Kibana its plugin on that node, and I'm gonna put a JSON document. So for example, I put a basic JSON document here. They say okay, created. So while it has done this, I now have a key space test, and then if I select data from that table, I've got the document. I put it here. I've got it in a SQL table. So I can search that document, for example, with a search request. Give me all the matching documents. I've got it. Find the document from the Elasticsearch. Now, if I put a more complex document with a nested type here, currently. If I look at the schema, I've got one table with one field full. And now if I put a more complex document, it has created a new document. And now the mapping has now a new column, a list of table user, which is a user-defined type. Which is available if I. So it has dynamically create a type and update the SQL schema of the table one, because I wrote in a document type named table one. So it does all the stuff for us in the background. And I'll go on my presentation. So when you do a script of detailed statement in Cassandra, usually it generates a mapping update to all nodes for each statement. For example, if you create type 1, then type 2, then create another table. If it fails, you cannot roll back what you have created in the schema. So it was an issue for us because we are not always sure that all changes would be validated against the current schema. So we have changed a little method in the Cassandra code to make a copy of the current schema and to do validation against that copy into memory. If the validation fails, we drop the copy. If it's okay, we keep the mutation relative to that mutation, and we will apply it to the cluster later if the Paxos transaction succeeds. So we have created a copy method on some object, key space, table, type, and views. And we also change a little bit some create alter statement to be able to separate, to split validation function and a change schema function. Then the second issue was if two nodes apply a new mapping at the same time, you get a concurrent schema change. And in Cassandra, you get a glitch with that because you can create the same table twice with different column ID. Column family ID. Here, for example, you get, for example, two SSS connections on two nodes, you create the same table on two nodes, and you get such errors, usually. So it is a known issue. There's a Cassandra ticket open on Jira. It's always open. I don't know how it goes, but there's currently no solution. So in Alessandra, we had a Paxos transaction to protect from that. And it's a basic transaction. It's just an update on the number, which is a version number of the mapping. Each time you change the mapping, it increases that contour. If the contour has been touched by another node, our try will fail, and then we give up the request. So, on step three, once the Paxos transaction succeed, we send the bunch of schema mutation to all nodes. And we introduce in the migration listener, this is a component in 2 Cassandra that listen for a schema change. We introduce two new endpoints on begin transaction and on end transaction. And then in the event listener of we propagate the events to listeners. We have added a listener for Alessandra, and that listener collect all the change between the begin transaction and the end transaction. During that transaction, it will collect all the mutation related to Elasticsearch mapping, and then at the end, it rebuild the full Elasticsearch mapping and set up the new cluster state with this new mapping. So when the node merge the mapping, it generate the notify begin and notify end transaction. We also need a synchronous way to know that the schema was applied to all nodes. And in Cassandra, when the schema is applied to a node, it just passively announced through the gossip protocol that the schema is applied. And the gossip messages are only sent every second. So you at least need to wait 1 second, which is quite long. So we decided to add a synchronous response through the Elastic Messaging API to get a synchronous ACK when the Elasticsearch mapping is updated. So at the end, we were able to save the schema in the Elasticsearch mapping into the SQL schema. We solved the concurrency issue with the Paxos lightweight transaction. And our metadata change or mapping change only generate one mutation, which is far more efficient than generating many table updates each time we change the mapping. And that means that if you want to create safely create a new table in to Cassandra, you can also create a dummy index with no indexed field, but it will generate the table for you with that protection against concurrent change and against rollback. So we've tested that feature by deploying an Alessandra cluster running inside a Kubernetes cluster. And on the Kubernetes cluster, we've deployed a daemon set with 300 bits, sending all containers logs to the Alessandra cluster. So at the same time, each node with 300 bits is trying to create the same index into the Elasticsearch cluster. And because of the, you can create one index per day with 300 bits. For example, at midnight, you have all the daemon set creating the same new index for the new day, and then you have concurrent mapping update, but it's safely managed by the Paxos transaction. I've wrote a blog about that, and you can find it on if you look for Alessandra 300 bits in Kubernetes, you will find it easily. And as a result, you get a way to store logs with dynamic mapping into Alessandra. And compared to the vanilla Elasticsearch, you don't have any more single point of write, because every node in Alessandra can take, depending on your application factor, many nodes can take writes, so you can always write. You may have a connection loss because you are using the REST API, so when a node shut down, you lose the connection. But 300 bits try to reconnect to another node, and then the write succeeds. So Those modifications are available into our fork of Apache Cassandra on GitHub. And those modifications probably had to add a new SQL statement with a begin transaction and end transaction to properly roll back many statements if it says at the end, for example. And there is probably still an issue when you do schema and topology change at the same time. It's an anti-pattern with Cassandra. If you have, if you've got some information about this issue, I'm interested in to try to see what we can do. But it's probably a point to dip in. I finished here. If you have some questions.
So first of all, thanks, because this is great. Second of all, is your code that you wrote to use Paxos transactions for schema updates, is that theoretically something that can be applied to the Cassandra ticket, rolled upstream into Cassandra itself?
In the current open ticket, the guys in charge of the ticket say, we will use a Paxos transaction, but not the one provided by the Cassandra implementation. So I don't know what he's got in his mind. I don't know. Okay, maybe you can answer.
No, it's most likely happening.
Most likely happening what?
In 5.0.
Oh, in 5.0, okay.
Yeah.
It's like two significant changes from the round 2 to 4.0, and there are difficulties with using LWT as they implemented, so it's a necessity of cluster state. It's kind of like chicken and egg problem.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to go a bit lower, but yeah.
So then I have a follow-on question, and that is, I noticed when you did your demonstration, the first thing it did is it created a key space.
Yes.
Okay. How does it know what network topology strategy to use for that key space, or simple topology, or whatever?
Alessandro always worked with the network topology strategy.
Excellent.
Okay, so because usually this is the topology you need. And you can set an index setting with your application map for Cassandra. For example, you can set an index saying that if you create the index, you would say you would create data center 1, 2 replica, data center 2, 3 replica, or whatever. Gotcha. So you have some option to completely, totally define the key space and the Cassandra table. You can even specify compaction strategy or whatever. Every option you can set when you create a table, you can say it as a setting or a mapping in Elasticsearch.
Thank you.
That's all.